The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you so much for that, ladies. I appreciate that. That a blessing, amen? What a blessing. Take your Bible and go back to Revelation chapter 4, look at verse 11, where the Bible says, and I'll read it again for our understanding. The Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You know a verse very well, I'm sure. Perhaps for those of you that grew up in Sunday school, maybe you first landed in church in the nursery, then you went to the primary department, then perhaps you went to the junior department, then perhaps you went, of course, from the junior department to the preteen, and from the preteen to the teen, and from the teen to the college and career, and from the college and career to one of our married classes, to one of our married classes, to an older married class, to the senior saint class, and then beyond. But you understand that there's a verse that all of us know very well, but sometimes we kind of overlook the verse over in John chapter 3 and verse 16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, the Bible teaches that he gave. Now understand that he owns all, as we read in this verse here in Revelation chapter 4 and in verse 11, where it says, again, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." It says, "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." God has been very good to us. Those of us that have received Christ as Savior, we have received the only begotten of the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And through Christ, we have eternal life. It's not based on things that we do. It's not based on things that we say, or if you would please, people that we have as friends or the church that we attend. Everlasting life is found only in Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, Jesus speaking emphatically so, in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, where he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So there's not two ways to heaven, and there's not three ways to heaven, and there's not four ways to heaven. Jesus said, "I'm the way." So it's not Jesus and baptism. It's not Jesus and being good. It's not Jesus and going to church. It's not Jesus and becoming affiliated with a church or even a member. It's Christ and Christ alone. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath everlasting life." So everlasting life is in the Son. When I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, I do not receive temporary life. I receive everlasting life. It's not based on the things I do. It's not based on the life I live. It's based on the person who gave eternal life. And that one who gave eternal life is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And everlasting life is in, yes, is Jesus Christ. So when a person receives Jesus Christ, they receive eternal life. Now why? Because eternal life and Jesus Christ is inseparable. You cannot separate Jesus Christ and eternal life. So when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive eternal life because they're inseparable. But yet God has been so good to us because God has given us many things. Today, you and I, as we sit here in a church service, God has been good to us where he's given us food. God's been good to us and he's given us clothing. God's been good to us and God has given us shelter. God has given us toys. Yes, I'm talking to adults. God has given us education and God has given us the ability to be able to go and have dental treatment done. God has given us the money to be able to pay the bills, the doctor bills, and maybe an orthodontist bill or maybe an optometrist bill. God's been good to us to supply money to us where we can buy birthday presents or maybe anniversary gifts. Maybe that you could be able to attend Sunday school. Yes, that shows the goodness of God because you're able to get up this morning and able to attend a Sunday school class. You're able to come into preaching, and I watched many of you as you knew the songs and you did your very best. Though the person sitting in front of you that heard you sing might have thought you could have done better, but you did your very best in singing that song and giving God the honor and the glory. God's been pretty good to us. We've been able to walk around and we've been able to shake hands with people that we know and people that are visiting that we're trying to get acquainted to, and thank God for the many visitors here this morning. But can I tell you, God's been good to us. Amen. Most of you didn't have to walk the church. You drove here, and God's been good to you. Most of you, when you leave here, you're going to go get something to eat. God is going to be good to you. Most of you, when you leave here, you're going to take, if you come to Parkside Baptist Church, you're going to take probably a Baptist nap when you get home. Can I tell you, God's been good to you. Can I tell you, just by sheer token of the fact, when I say something that not deep and not distressful, but something that's delightful, when that smile comes across your face, is very evident, God's been good to you. So God has been so very good to us. But yet it didn't start with you, did it? Didn't start with me. It started with God creating all that is and all that ever will be for His good pleasure. Matter of fact, the Bible says over in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Bible says, I have shown you all things. How it says that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words. Now, when the Bible says, and to remember the words, that means that these words that we're about to say was said often. You know, like perhaps you remember your grandfather or your grandmother, and they would have a certain phrase that they would say, and, you know, you're talking a little bit, you say, well, remember what granddad said? Or you remember what grandma said? Or maybe somebody famous that you know in your life, and you know, you say, well, you remember what so-and-so said? Or maybe you heard the preacher one time get up behind the pulpit and he said something. And by the way, every preacher really desires for you to remember something that he said. Okay? But you might say, well, remember what he said about that? Okay? Well, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, I have showed you in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that you ought laboring to support the weak. Listen to what it says. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said. So this is something that he often said. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I imagine the Lord Jesus, as he is feeding the 5,000 that was sitting there on the side of the bank one day, and perhaps it was more than 5,000, because the 5,000, of course, was just talking about the men that was sitting down, and perhaps some of those men were married. And so let's say that they all were married, so now we're talking 10,000. Let's say that each one of those couples that was married had one child. Now we're talking 15,000, if they had two, 20,000. But they're sitting down on the side of the bank, and he instructs the disciples to be able to feed them as he broke the bread and as he gave the fish. And I can imagine the Lord Jesus saying, now remember this, fellas, as you're passing out that bread and as you're passing out those fish, don't you forget it, because it is something that we need to understand. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I can imagine as Jesus is walking by the wayside and as he stretched out his hand and he heals the blind, he would often remind the disciples, now don't you forget it, fellas, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I can imagine as Jesus is healing the lame, as he would remind his disciples most often, don't you forget it, fellas, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I can imagine as Jesus is walking beside the wayside and he forgives the adulterous woman and he points and he says to those that are within his hearing distance, now don't you forget this, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Well, isn't that what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches over in the book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So he says to give. I want to speak to you this morning on don't confuse your purpose. Don't confuse what God has for you. Matter of fact, God gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave. Never forget that. Never forget that Jesus left heaven, a place of eternal riches, a place of peace. Never forget that Jesus left heaven, a place of no sin, a place of continual praise. Never forget that Jesus left heaven, a place of royalty, a place where there was angelic worship of the King of Kings. Don't forget that when Jesus left heaven, he left a place of godly music. He left a place of no death. He left a place of no lying. He left a place where his Father would sit on the throne. He left a place there would be no stealing or no robbing, no jealousy there. He left a place where there is no corruption, there is no disease, there is no death, there is no sting of death, there is no graves, there is no night, there is no fear. When he left heaven, there is no immorality. There is no rock music that has words that would persuade a person to think those things that they ought not to think. There is no things in heaven such as would pervert somebody's mind. Or there's no games in heaven where people would sit around and idly play. And there's no things that are in heaven that would persuade a person not to go the right direction. Why? Because heaven is a perfect place. He left the perfect place of heaven. Now, why did he do that? He came down a sinful man. Why did he do that? Because he came as a lamb, being led, if you would please, to the slaughter, so that you and I, through that lamb, as John spoke of him, that came across the Jordan bank, and as he pointed to him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sins of the world." He became our personal lamb. He became the one so that you and I would be able to have eternal life. Now, let's never lose our purpose. You know, our Lord Jesus never lost his purpose. Matter of fact, over in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." So Jesus knew who he was. He knew exactly who he was. Now, who was he? He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. Talk to me for a little bit. Let's get it engraved in our hearts this morning. Who was he? Talk to me. He's the Son of God. You got to help me. Ready? Who was he? The Son of God. By the way, he is the Son of God. All right? So we understand this, that Jesus Christ never lost the fact of who he was. He never lost the fact that he is the only begotten of the Father. He never forgot that he had a mission to be able to fulfill. He never forgot that one day, because he fulfilled his mission and laid his blood down on the mercy seat, he never forgot that there was going to be a day when you would come to an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptist church and hear a loud-mouthed preacher get up and proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Somebody said it's good news because it's good that we hear the gospel, and the gospel is the greatest news you could ever hear, so it's certainly good. Somebody else said it's news because most people's never heard it before. And so that's why it's called good news. Now, can I tell you, I'm so glad that we're in a church today that unashamedly proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad we're in a church today that you can bring a friend and that friend can hear the good news of being able to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and walk out of here knowing for sure that if they died, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm glad that our Father sought it so, to be able to give his only begotten Son so that you and I, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, might not have a hope-so salvation or a maybe-so salvation, but according to the Scriptures, we have a know-so salvation, where the Bible says, "These things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." I'm glad that we have a know-so salvation. What does that mean? That means that when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, they become a child of God. That means that they become a child of the King. That means that they become an ambassador of Jesus Christ. That means that they are more than conquerors. That means that they are heir to the throne. Let it never be misunderstood that you're made in the very image and the very likeness of God. Let not yourself ever come to a point and to a place where you look upon yourself and say, "Well, I tell you what, I'm not important." No, to God, you're important. Matter of fact, the Bible says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't forget who he is. You know, I'm not going to read all of them. I've alphabetized every name that I could find about Christ in the Bible. He's the Adam. He's the Advocate. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Angel. He's the Amen. He's the Anointed. He's the Author and the Finisher of our faith. He's the beginning, the end of creation of God. He's the Beloved. He's the Branch. He's the Bread of Life. He's the Bridegroom. He's the Bright Morning Star. He's the Captain of Salvation. He's the Carpenter. He's the Carpenter's Son. He's the Chief Shepherd. He's the Chief Cornerstone. He's the Chiefest among 10,000. He's the Chosen of God. He's the Christ. He's the Christ the King. He's the Jesus Christ. He's the Christ King. He's the Christ Jesus. He's the Christ Jesus our Lord. He's the Christ of God. He's the Christ the Chosen of God. He's the Christ the Lord. He's the Commander. He's the Cornerstone. He's the Counselor. He's David. He's the Daysman. He's the Day Spring. He's the Day Star. He's the Deliverer. He's the Desire of all the nations. He's the Door. He's the Elect. He's the Emmanuel. He's the Ensign. He is the Eternal Life. He is the Eternal One. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Faithful and True. He's the Faithful Witness. He's the Finisher of our faith. He's the First and the Last. He's the First Begotten of the Dead. He's the Firstborn. He's the Foundation. He's the Friend of Sinners. He's the Gift of God. He's the Glory of Israel. He's God. He's God manifested in the flesh. He's the God of Israel. He's the God of the whole earth. He's the God, our Savior. He's God's dear Son. He's God with us. He's a good Master, Governor. He's that one that's called the Great Shepherd of the sheep. He's the High Priest. He's the Head of every man. He's the Holy One. He's the Holy One of God. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the Hope. He's the Horn of Salvation. He's the Great I Am. He's the Image of God. He's Jehovah. He's Jesus Christ. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's Jesus of the King of the Jews. He's Jesus, the Son of God. He's the Judge. He's the Just One. He's the King of Israel, the King of the Jews, the King of the Saints, the King of Kings, the King of Glory, the King of Zion, the King over all the earth. And I could go on. Can I tell you, you serve a masterful King today. Don't you ever hang your head low and say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just a Christian. No, you're more than just a Christian. You're a child of God. Don't you ever forget that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. And it doesn't matter if you're the chief of sinners, God's love can reach down to you and God can help you and God can bring you out of the miry clay and set your feet upon a solid rock. And I'm saying that you've got a God this morning that loves you, that cares about you, that wants to help you, that is there for you, that will meet your prayers, that will help you to be able to stand in the wicked day. And God is there for you. He will not forsake you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the one that sat beside sinners and was made, if you would please, a mocking by those that were the scribes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But can I tell you, he's still fulfilled his will for his life. I'm saying this morning, that Jesus knew who he was. Who is he? He is the Son of God. May I say that Jesus made a trade. He had a trade that he had. What was his trade? He was called carpenter. Carpenter. Listen to it. Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. The Bible says, it's not this, the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and it says of Judah and Simon. And it says, are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So there was a day when Jesus, he himself, was called the carpenter. He had a trade. Now, can I tell you, I think that every young person ought to have a trade. You ought to have something that you're able to do, something that you're able to accomplish. You cannot live on mom and daddy's coattail all the days of your life. There's going to be a day when you got to grow up and get out. Hello. We have three sons and a precious daughter, and all three of our sons are married. Can I tell you? When they said, Daddy, I want to get married. I thought, oh, and then I turned around and said, yes. You know, because that meant And I love them, and I'm glad that they left home. Now I'm glad when they come back to visit, too. I just don't want them to move back in. You know, there's the leaving and the cleaving act that's found in our Bible. Amen. That means when you get married, you leave mom and daddy and you cleave to that which is your husband, or yea, to your bride. And thank God there's that principle. It's found in the Bible. All right. Now, can I say, Jesus had a trade. Now, what was his trade? His trade that he was a carpenter. You find that in your Bible right there, where the Bible says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? So I want you to understand that Jesus knew who he was. He knew who he was. Who was he? He was the Son of God. Who was he? He was the Son of God. Talk to me. Ready? Who was he? He was the So he knew who he was. He never forgot who he was. Now, can I say something to you, dear beloved child of God? Never forget who you are. Never forget that you're a Christian. Never forget that you're a child of God. Never forget that he cares for you. Never forget that you can pray, and God is the one that is standing there waiting for you to be able to talk to him. Never forget that you can be as close to God as you want to be. All right, so he never forgot who he was. Statement number one, he had a trade. Jesus had a trade. Now, what was his trade? He was a carpenter. What was his trade? He was a carpenter. What was his trade? Talk to me. He was a carpenter. Now, think about this. During the days of Jesus, it was the law that every young man would have a trade. A trade was not something to provide luxury, but rather trade was something that you could help your family with. You see, back in those days, families not only lived together, they worked together, and everybody that was a part of the family had a part of providing for the family. You see, in our Western civilization, you know, the parents always provide for the children, and that's noble and that's admirable and like that. But, you know, in those days, the children also worked, and they gave their money in to be able to help provide for the family. They would help with the rent, and they would help with the food bill, and they would all work together. You know, it was just a part of the way that they were raised. You know, they taught their young men to work, and they would go out and they'd work in the fields, and they would go out and they'd help to bring the grain in, and everybody worked together. You know, I think sometimes we ought to get back to that, to be honest with you. You know, we have young ladies, and it would be really nice for you to know some things about maybe helping to clean the house. I'm going to meddling, I know that. But it would be good to learn some things maybe about cooking. Fellas, it would be good for you to know how to start a mower. Know how to push them off. Look, I really believe this. If you're a dad and you have a teenager that's living at your house, you should at no time in any way have to mow your lawn. Amen. Boy, that teenager ought to get up, be so thankful that he has the privilege to live in your house, has the privilege to sleep on your bed, has the privilege to walk across your carpet, has the privilege to eat your food. That he ought to consider it a great honor to get out there and mow the lawn and take out the trash. I mean, she ought to consider it a great honor to be able to help mama do the laundry, fold the laundry, learn some household caretaking needs. Hello. Oh, you say, I'm not coming back here again. Well, I'm going to get you while I can. We understand in those days there was the law, and the law stated that those that were raised in the household was to take up a trade. And normally in those days, the son would take up the trade of that which was his father. Now, we know that God is the father of that which is Jesus Christ. But he had a caretaker. He had one that was supposed to be a steward over him, and his name was Joseph. And Joseph worked in the carpenter's shop. So is it any wonder, according to the tradition of the day, that Jesus Christ also would rise up and would learn to work in the carpenter's shop? You know, he learned how to work with people. That's pretty good. He learned how to handle money. That's pretty good. He learned how to be able to fill people's needs. That's pretty good. He learned how to be able to make right choices. By the way, all of us as parents ought to be teaching our children the same thing. He learned how to lead people. He learned what it was to be masculine. Some people paint Jesus as a long-haired, skinny type of person, but may I say they'll not find that in the Bible anywhere. Matter of fact, you can rest assured, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that Jesus did not even have long hair. Because the Bible says that it was a shame for man to have long hair. He was not going to disobey the scripture. But you got these effeminate men that would paint Jesus as having long hair and no muscles. Can I tell you, if you're a carpenter's son, if you will, or working, yea, in a carpenter's shop, and you're going to do some labor like that, you're going to develop some muscles. It's going to take some muscles to be able to lift that wood. By the way, how would you like to have a chair built by Jesus? How would you like to be able to have a sofa built by Jesus? How would you like to be able to have a table? Say, who built your table? The Son of God. He says, is it perfect? What do you think? He knew how to lead people. He knew how to be masculine. He knew how to be acquainted with hard work. He knew how to pay his taxes. He knew how to work long hours with little reward. He knew how to deal with cheating people, lying people, stealing people. He knew how to deal with all of them. Why? Because he was known at this time as the carpenter's son. He was known as the one that would work, and he was known by those around as that's the boy, that's the young man that's working in the carpenter shop. May I say, statement number one, Jesus knew who he was. Who was he? He's the Son of God. Who was he? He's the... Jesus had a trade. His trade is he was the carpenter. He had a trade. His trade was he was the... Let me give you one last thing. Jesus never confused his trade with what God created him to do. He never. Now, here's the gist of the message. I'm afraid in our Christian world here in Western civilization that sometimes you and I, we get confused. And we start prioritizing our trade rather than what God created us to do. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, he never got confused by confusing his trade with what God created him to do. It's amazing that one day they were traveling in, and as they're traveling into the Jerusalem area, they had paid their taxes and whatnot, and they were leaving, and they got about 2 days' journey, and they realized that Jesus was not with them, and this is Joseph and Mary, and so they turn around, and they come back, and lo and behold, Jesus is in the temple, and he's about 12 years of age right now, and he is answering and asking questions of those that were leaders in the temple. Joseph comes up and he says, where have you been? What are you been doing? And Jesus looks down at Joseph, very respectful, not disrespectful in any way, but he says to Joseph, I must be about my father's business. That was about the age of 12. And isn't it amazing that after that, you never see Joseph again? Matter of fact, there's no recording of Joseph after that meeting that they had in the temple when he came back. But after that, you don't see that it's talking about Joseph the carpenter, but now you see that Jesus is the carpenter. Might it be that he took over the carpenter shop at the age of 12? Might it be that he learned the responsibility so much that he could run, if you would please, the business all by himself? But can I tell you, there was a day in Jesus' life where he stopped working in the carpenter shop. Perhaps at the age of 4, he worked in the carpenter shop beside Joseph. Perhaps at the age of 6, and the age of 10, and the age of 12. But then now, of course, you see, as I gave you a moment ago, that he was there in the temple, and he looked down at Joseph, and he said, I must be about my father's business. And you see, Joseph no more recorded in history anywhere. So perhaps Joseph died, I don't know. But we do know this, that now he's not called the carpenter's son or working in the carpenter's shop, but at the age of 13, he's called the carpenter. At the age of 14, he's called the carpenter. At the age of 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 and 19 and 20, he's called the carpenter. At the age of 21 and 22 and 23 and 24 and 25 and 26, all the way to the age of 30, then all of a sudden you see that Jesus now takes on his earthly ministry, and he knew what he was supposed to do. Why did he know what he was supposed to do? Because he never forgot what God had created him to do. He did not get confused his trade with his purpose of life. We're talking about the Son of God. Aren't you so glad he didn't forget his purpose? Aren't you so glad that Jesus, hey, I'm talking about the very Son of God, shed his blood for you, was nailed to a cross, went to the grave, but rose victorious over sin, death, and the devil. Hey, he fulfilled his purpose so that one day somebody could come by and somebody could give you the plan of salvation and somebody could show you that Jesus Christ saves and you could bow your heart, receive Christ as Savior, go to heaven, thank God for the Son of God. We see over in Isaiah chapter 43 and in verse 11, the Bible said, I am the Lord. Listen to it now. Beside me, there is no Savior. See, if he would not have done what the will of God was for his life, you would have no Savior. But I want to submit something to you. If you do not do what God has for you in your life, other people will have no Savior. Don't forget what God has created you to do. Don't get your trade. Look, you're some preacher, you don't understand. I work on Mondays and I get up early, I know. We got men in our church that have to get up at 3:30 and they've got to be at work at 4:30 a.m. But they never miss Sunday night church. Don't get your trade confused with the purpose that God has for your life. Amen. Your wife and your kids need to see that God's important in your life. Amen. I think it's about time that some men in America put their britches on and decide you're going to go to church and be in church like you should be. And you don't take a vote on it every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. Just do what you're supposed to do. By the way, most dear ladies is wanting a real man just to rise up and lead. Now, I'm saying this morning as kindly as I can. I'm saying this, don't confuse your trade with the purpose that God has created you to be. You step into that position and you say, by the good grace of God, yes, I will. Now, I'm saying this. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 8, the Bible says, and being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He knew he was going to have to lay down his life as a lamb led to the slaughter. He knew that. Right. But can I tell you, that did not bother him to the point that he said, no, I don't think I will. Right. For God so loved the world. The Bible says, again, over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. He said he created everything that is for his pleasure and everything that would be for his pleasure. You know, you were created to bring pleasure to God. Oh, watch this, okay. Stand up, Wesso, please. Let's pretend that this is my daddy. So this is my daddy. My daddy says, now, Michael, he says, I want you to go do that. I say, yes, sir. I go do it. I get it done. Daddy says, Michael, I want you to go do that. Yes, sir. Get it done. Daddy says, Michael, go do that. Yes, sir. I get it done. Then I say, hey, Dad, after church tonight, can I have a banana split with cherries on top and whipped cream?
Oh, sure.
You know why I got blessed? Because I did everything that Daddy said to do. All right, watch this. You ready? Daddy says, go do that. No. Daddy says, go do that. Who do you think you are? Daddy says, go do that. You got a problem? You're always pointing at stuff? I give him lip service, and then I say, hey, Dad, tonight after church, can I have an ice cream with a cherry and whipped cream on top?
I've got something for you. Special order.
Ice cream, whipped cream.
You'll see. It'll be whipping.
Cherry,
yes,
on top.
A lot of whipping. A lot of whipping.
Whipping?
Yes.
Like whipped cream, cherry on top.
Whipped cream, a whole lot of whipping.
Whipping?
Yes.
What is those things you wanted me to do, Dad? I love you. Now, if you expect a parent to do that, why are you surprised when we put God in that imposition? Example, God says, hey, once you go to church. God says, hey, I want you to pray. God says, oh, read your Bible. And then I say, dear God, I've been praying for something for a long time, and my dear wife or my children really need this. Would you please? Yeah. Wait, stop, I'm not done. Don't get ahead of my illustration, you'll ruin it. So all of a sudden, God says, go to church. Tired, sleepy. The body that you gave me is not holding up. Really your fault. You know, the Lord says, okay, read your Bible. It's hard to read. It's hard to read. It's my parents' fault. You know, because after all, they did not make me stop watching the television and playing games long enough to learn how. It's their fault. Says, hey, pray. Okay, thanks. Okay, pray. Pray. Talk to who when I pray? You? Really? And I mockingly. And then I say, dear God, would you please? And he looks down and he says, you kidding?
That's right. That's right.
Because when you hide iniquity in your heart, the Bible says the Lord will not hear you. Are you really for real? You really think I'm going to hear you? Hello? So what is that? That's called reality. Don't confuse your trade with the purpose God has for you. You were created to bring him good pleasure. We were created to please him. But by the way, can I say this? The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart.
Amen.
So when you change your delighter, different desires does he give you. Hey, I'm saying this. Don't ever confuse your trade with what God created you to do. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the Bible.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.